You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
What's up, folks? Welcome to the MSP Zone. All managed services, all the time, it's all we do. For 23 years, it's all we've done. You believe that? It's a long time. Hey, before we get started, we've got actually some really exciting stuff to cover with you today, but I wanted to get through some housekeeping items. And it was brought to my attention that when we started this podcast many years ago, and then we kind of let it die, and then, you know, during the pandemic, we brought it back again. So around early 2020, we started doing the podcast again. And when we did it, it was a podcast. It was like no video. It was just audio only. And we had it out there on a lot of different platforms. And so a lot of you may be consuming this content, let's say on Apple Podcasts, or on, I think we're on Spotify and Podbean and a few other platforms. But some of you may not know that we actually have a video component. Obviously, if you're watching it, you already know that. But if you're listening to this only, we've got a video to go along with the audio content. So if you are interested, just throwing it out there, if you're interested in seeing the full video episode of this podcast, head over to YouTube, our channel there, at MSP Alliance, click the subscribe button, hit the like button, and if you're interested, after we get to a certain number of subscribers there, hey, would you guys be interested if we did some live streams? Maybe did some live interviews with MSPs and notable MSP thinkers and whatnot. Would that be of interest to you? A couple people have brought it up, so I'm wondering that, you know, there might be a greater demand for that type of thing in the future. So anyway, head over to YouTube, at MSP Alliance, subscribe, like. We'd appreciate your support. Today, we have three topics that are going to hopefully illuminate and be of significant interest to you. I think all three of them should be a very, very much important interest to you as an MSP. Number one, we're going to talk about MSP growth and whether it's exaggerated. We're next going to talk about, and there's a tie-in here, so we're going to segue into hardware revenue, hardware sales, and the role of the MSP in hardware, including software. And then finally, we're going to wrap it up with a discussion around co-managed services and whether it's something that's really advisable for the modern day MSP. And, you know, is it risky? Is it something that every MSP ought to be doing or thinking about doing? And so, well, very important topic. We'll finish off with that one last. But first, MSP growth. Is it exaggerated? Is it not exaggerated? Is it underreported? Our friend Jay McBain, a lot of you know Jay, executive in the channel, been around for ages. I first met Jay when he first came. I think it was almost his second day, really early when he just started with Autotask, way back, way before the Datto acquisition. And Jay was part of that team, and that's when I first met him. And he's done a lot of stuff since then, but now he's with a firm called, I hope I pronounce it right, Canalys. Canalys, a firm that they're an analyst firm, and they showed up, and I've known that for a while, but I haven't really paid as much attention as I probably should have to some of their work. And I did recently when I saw an article that a Canalys analyst was mentioned in and quoted in, and the title of the article was Managed Services Growth Exaggerated Shows Research. And so I thought, okay, is this going to be a anti-MSP? is going to be a pro MSP piece. And so it piqued my interest and I read it. Now, the gist of the article, and I think the gist of the research and the analysis from their research is as follows. My words is that there is a disproportionate amount of managed services revenue being delivered by a small percentage of MSPs. I think that that's basically how I would phrase the article, and that's how I would phrase the Canalys mindset. Right? Makes sense? A fairly small percentage of MSPs producing a disproportionately large amount of the revenue. Now, the title suggests that managed services revenues is exaggerated. I want to address that momentarily, but here's how Canalys describes or defines managed services. So I'm quoting right from the article. Canalys classifies MSPs as channel partners making more than 50% of the revenue from IT managed services. I get it. That's not my definition. I understand why they would have that definition. I'm not knocking it, but it's not how we classify MSPs, which is solely a revenue. Revenue is a good indicator, but it is not the sole arbiter or the sole factor or even the primary factor, in my opinion and in others, of what makes an MSP or not. Because even if you had, let's say, 50% of your company's revenue coming from quote-unquote managed services, we still haven't defined what managed services revenue is. You see where the problem is? There's a lot of people who define what they're doing as managed services, and it's not. This is a separate issue, right? And I want to be very clear. I am not knocking Canalys and their decision to roll with this type of a definition. It makes sense from their vantage point. And let me say for the record, I think that based on the data that I'm seeing here in this article, and I've been chatting back and forth with Jay about, you know, getting more involved with it, with their group, I think that Canalys is doing some of the best work around managed services that I've seen from the analyst community. I've been on the record for a long time just saying that I think that the analyst community has done really horrible work in the sense that they don't do any work, really, when it comes to managed services and tracking this industry. And yeah, I know that you're going to tell me, oh, but there's a whole bunch of press releases about analyst firms who track managed services. We've been over that, folks. We've talked about this time and time again, how all of those press releases and those analyst firms, that segment out there, really are only focusing on about 10 to 12 telco-sized companies. And they define that market as the managed services market, when you and I know that there's tens and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of MSPs around the world that don't fit into that category of 10 or 12 large telco types. It's a distinction, a classification distinction. More on that in another episode, but you get my point. So hats off to Canalys for doing this yeoman's work. It's really fantastic to see this type of factual, data-driven analysis on our profession. So, moving on. The article, and the article seems to be EMEA-focused, so, you know, European, Middle East-focused, and the data suggests, again, quoting from the article, that there are more than 148,000 channel partners, air quotes, delivering $122 billion of IT managed services in EMEA in 2022, last year. But only 11% of those were managed service providers. You get it? So they're saying 148,000 channel partners, whatever that means, deliver 122 billion in IT managed services, whatever that means, in EMEA. Canalys then says 11% of that 148,000 are actual MSPs. I'm not going to quibble about it, but that sounds right. That sounds right. And I'm not even using the Canalys definition of 50% or greater, the trigger. I'm going to say that sounds right just based off of my own data, my own, our research. I say mine, the MSP Alliance, what we sit on in terms of data and what we know to be true. That sounds reasonable to say that 11%-ish are doing a great amount of the actual work. Now, that begs the question, what are the remaining 49% doing? Do they think that they're delivering managed services? Do they think they're delivering something else, but it's actually managed services? Probably not. My guess is they're probably thinking that they're delivering managed services, but they're actually not. And because the fact that they may only have a very small percentage of their company's revenue coming from managed services, they're not being grouped into that 11%. I get why this is being presented this way. I think it's really interesting. It certainly spices up the conversation and gets us all thinking. I'd like to address the issue of the title, which is, do I think that managed services growth is exaggerated? No. I probably would have chosen a very different title. I think that there is massive demand. You've heard me say this so many times. I think there's massive demand for managed services and far fewer qualified MSPs to actually do the work. I think that this data is kind of supports that claim. I would like to address, however, a very, I got to be careful how I phrase this. I know personally a lot of companies that are fairly sizable who have a managed services division that does not even come close to 50% of their company's revenue, and yet who have really, really good, solid managed services departments. Like, really good, state of the art, best in class. Now you could say, well, if they were so good, how come they're not taking over all the rest of the company's revenue, right? If it's that good, how come they're not making up 70% of the company's revenue? Well, that's a really good question, and that involves and implicates something that I don't have time to get into. Most of these organizations have huge political vested interest in their sales organizations, and their sales organizations are not going to be dissuaded from their present path, which is the path they've had for the last several decades in many cases, and that is, we're selling hardware. We're selling software. That's what we're doing. If we got to drag managed services behind it, we'll do it. But we're leading with hardware. Now, you and I can think that that's misguided, but that is a reality of the IT channel around the world. We have to face it. So, I just wanted to make that comment because, again, an MSP equals 50% or greater of revenue coming from managed services. There's some people who might make some bones about that, make some a little pushback. Right or wrong, I'm just representing the other side. I still think that the overarching sentiment of the Canalys analyst is correct, that there is a disproportionately small number of MSPs actually doing the work. Does that mean that the market is over-exaggerated? No. No, I don't. I think it means that there's a lot more potential that is not being met by a vast percentage of the IT channel. I think, and I have shown using a different analyst firm, right? Look at the Gartner numbers of IT services, not managed services, but Gartner's IT services, which their global IT services spend, I think this year is projected. It's way above $1 trillion. I'll have to go back and look at it, but I think it's like $1.4 trillion. $1.4 trillion. I'll go look at it, and it's a big number. And not all of that is managed services. I estimate that probably $500 billion globally, less than half, but fast approaching half, is coming from true managed services, from telco all the way down through SMB. Now, I have no way to be sure. Nobody else can be sure because nobody's actually done that type of study. I think it would be remarkably interesting, but probably difficult to do, which is probably why no one's done it before. But we can extrapolate, we can use anecdotal evidence and information to kind of arrive to general movement trends and figure out where the wind is blowing. So, yeah, I do agree. Small percentage of MSPs producing an abnormal, maybe, percentage of the actual managed services revenue. But that is not... There's a larger segment out there that we're not counting, which is the 49% who are not being defined here as an MSP. There's a good percentage of them that probably have fairly decent to really good managed services offerings, but they're just not up to that 50% threshold, and so they're not being counted here. I don't know if Canalys has this data. If they do, I'd be really curious to see it. But the title, again, misleading, I think. Yeah. I think that this shows that there's tremendous opportunity out there for the market to mature, to grow. I think that there's overwhelming demand for more MSPs. If 11% of the MSPs are actually producing this, it shows you the appetite, I think, of what the market really wants. And that's my read. Exaggerated? Probably not. Disproportionate? Probably. But go check out for yourself. Go check out the article. Go check out Canalys. Like I said, I think they're doing some really good work. And maybe you'd like to take a look at it yourself. A segue into our next topic of managed services, hardware sales, and the relationship between those two. Going back to the topic we just left, which is my reference to large, like we'll call them value-added reseller-driven companies who have a majority, greater than 50% of their revenue coming from hardware, software types of sales, has always been a point of contention in the IT channel since the very beginning. And I don't want to go over this whole story, but I'm just lay the groundwork here. When I was first getting started in managed services at the MSP Alliance, we had an incredible amount of resistance from the rest of the channel. And for many years, I didn't understand why. And it wasn't aimed at us. It was aimed at the idea, at the business model of managed services. And years later, I found out why. And it was a friend of ours who was in the media space. He was an editor for one of the major channel companies. channel media companies, magazines. And he said, you know what? You guys have really been rocking the boat. And I said, what are you talking about, rocking the boat? This managed services thing, right? It's getting out of control. And I'm paraphrasing, but I'm giving you some fairly accurate quotes from my memory. There's a lot of concern in the channel about what the MSPs were doing and by consequence, what the MSP Alliance was doing to encourage VARs to become MSPs. And when I say we're encouraging it, all we were doing is reacting to what we already knew was happening, which is there was pent-up demand by the value-added resellers, the break-fix community at that time. I'm talking late 1990s to early 2000s. That momentum was already out. The cat was out of the bag, right? The genie was out of the bottle. Pick your metaphor. We didn't come up with it. We got behind it earlier than most, and we pushed really hard because we thought if this is going to happen, and we believed in the model, right? We believed in the MSP business model. We said this has got to be done, and there's got to be this is a shift in the business model, and it can't just be about buying technology. I think that that's been proven correct, you know, for a long time now. So this editor said, you know, you guys are rocking the boat because all these legacy hardware software vendors are getting really scared that all these VARs, their channel is going to disappear and become an MSP overnight. And I thought about it and I said, this is crazy. This is absolute lunacy. And I think the editor knew it, and because he nodded and he said, yeah, I know, but that's what they think. And they buy advertising. And so they're concerned and they're pushing. I think that they were pushing editorial pressure. I'm not saying it happened or they yielded, but I think that they were definitely leveraging some pressure on the editorial to mute the managed services message. It's just my opinion. I'm not claiming anyone did anything wrong. I'm just saying that that's my opinion across most of the media. Fast forward today. Okay. I think that that theory that the hardware software vendors had something to be concerned about is just crap. I think it was wrong-headed. It demonstrated a real lack of understanding about what was happening in their own channel. And they didn't understand it and they missed it until they figured out they couldn't control it anymore. They had to hang on to this wave or they were going to get swept over by it. And I think, you know, look at us today. Think of anyone who is anti-managed services in the vendor community. You don't see it. They're all bought in. At least bought into the recurring revenue channel model. So how this all came back up again. All right, recently I was online someplace. I saw somebody who was promoting a webinar that was talking about MSPs and how they can increase your hardware sales. And I thought, this is a really weird webinar. 2023, why is someone talking about hardware sales today? It's just unusual. So I poked around. And it got me thinking that, and then I started thinking about the Canalys data, classification of who is an MSP, who isn't an MSP, based on revenue. And I thought it would be worthwhile just to tie those two ideas together. Definition of an MSP, the Canalys version, the exaggeration or the disproportionate production of managed services revenue from a fairly small percentage of MSPs, greater than 50% coming from managed services, and this idea that MSPs could increase hardware sales. I want to put those two ideas together. Here we go. The legacy role of the MSP, who previously was a break-fix company and or a value-added reseller, is one of survival. It is one of necessity that the channel at 20, 30 years ago was going through an evolution, a business model evolution that could not be stopped. And it was largely a factor and driven by economics. And the economics of it were the tumult, the up and down, exaggerated performance of the market, and therefore market conditions from customers for value-added resellers was chaotic, to put it mildly. And MSPs, scratch that, channel companies, resellers, VARs, at that time said, I'm sick and tired of riding this chaotic wave up and down. Sometimes it's good, some years are really good, some months are really bad, and we have no way of knowing it. And every January, an MSP said this one time, said every January, he would start out in his company and there would be a great amount of fear because they had to go out and beat their last year's numbers. But they were starting from scratch. Imagine that. It's hard to imagine. A lot of you who've grown up only knowing managed services, it's hard to contemplate this. But imagine starting a new year, January 1, and you don't know where your next day's revenue is going to come from. So you have to mobilize your hopefully sizable sales army, get them sped up on the latest gear, and go out and market, hit the pavements, cold call, and try to approximate and repeat what you did the previous year or better. And that MSP CEO said, I was sick and tired of chasing the revenue every year. And so there came a point where a customer said, I'm going to write you a big check and I want you to sell me a whole bunch of gear. And the CEO said, no, not going to do it anymore, but I will manage it. I'll happily manage it, but I'm not going to resell anything to you. Now, if you're a hardware vendor, you might be saying, oh, sounds like there's a lot of reasons to be concerned about that. A lot of reasons to be fearful of managed services. Well, no, for reasons I'll explain shortly. The MSPs, when they made that business model shift, I said what I just said to explain the economic motivation behind a VAR CEO saying, I want something better. I want a better business model that is going to, when January 1 comes around, I want to know what my revenue is going to be like because I've got recurring revenue. I've got contracts. I can count on those a lot better than I can going out and pushing hardware. You could see that, right? You understand why that makes sense to a CEO who says, I want predictability. So it caught on. It caught like wildfire. And it went all over the world, all throughout the IT channel, and it was very infectious. Oh, you're doing managed services. Is it working? Yeah, it's working. It's great. I don't have to go chase revenue anymore. I get to pick and choose my projects. Lots of really good economic business outcomes came from making the switch to managed services. But let's get back to hardware and software. What happened to that? Did it go away? Did the fear of the vendor, as expressed by that channel editor, that channel magazine editor, did that ever come to fruition? Absolutely not. No. Name one hardware vendor that went out of business, suffered because their channel became MSPs. Now, you can make an argument that a hardware company went out of business because they they didn't evolve themselves and their products become stale and stagnant and that stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a good hardware company, well-run, with relevant technology. Name one that in 20 years that ever went out of business because their channel, their reseller channel, suddenly up and became MSPs. I can't think of any. If you do, message us. MSPzone@MSPalliance.com. Send us an email and say, here's an example. It happened. And I'll mention it in the next episode. I can't legitimately think of anyone that comes to mind. My point is, managed services didn't even come close to decimating or harming the hardware software vendor community. In fact, it may have improved it. Now, I'll get to how it improved it, and then I'm going to talk about why the vendors were still skittish. It improved it because the MSPs now had the ability to take hardware and software and become true dispassionate advocates for the customer, right? They're no longer just selling features and functionality of a device. They're solving problems and they're saying, I think this is a good product. I might sell it to you. I might just tell you where to go buy it. But when you buy it, bring it back to me. I'll configure it and I'll manage it. That's what we're going to do. Our main concern as an MSP is now not necessarily to sell it to you and just be done with the relationship. We want to manage that device for you. The vendors would get skittish because, and I understand this, because they no longer had an accurate record of who was producing for them. Because if you had 100 VARs and all 100 of those VARs for vendor XYZ suddenly becomes an MSP, and now the MSPs in that channel program aren't only just leading with that product and just selling that product exclusively, they're doing other services. And the product comes with it. Maybe the MSP doesn't even sell that product. Maybe the MSP says, go to the distributor and buy that product, right? Then the sale gets routed to a different place. And the vendor is saying, I don't know what's going on. I can't track any of the stuff. They're still selling, but their channel program starts to look weird. That's what they didn't like. I accept it, but it didn't mean that the MSPs were harming their channel sales. It doesn't mean that at all. I think it meant the opposite. I think channel sales for those companies went up because the MSPs became influencers. Way before you had social media, way before you had all these, you know, these kids becoming billionaires out there, influencing sales that they can actually track because of the technology exists today to do that. MSPs shifted their business model, became true advocates for their customers, and pushed hardware, pushed software, but didn't necessarily always resell it. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. But I can tell you, I know MSPs who have influenced a ton of hardware, software product. They never sold a cent of it. They sourced it from someplace else, let the customer figure it out, but they manage it, they configure it. That is why. Now, there are MSPs out there who absolutely sell hardware, resell hardware. And this is what I call the defensive hardware model, right? You have hardware as a service. You have those MSPs out there who really believe in and understand and like hardware as a service, the blending of hardware plus services into a fixed monthly cost that spreads out the cost of acquisition of large hardware acquisitions, and also spreads out the payment and absorbs the cost, the capital cost, and the management cost, which is ongoing, and makes it really nice economically for their customers. But you have some MSPs who are what I call defensive in their use of hardware, in that they will still resell hardware, and this is proof of what I'm saying. I know a lot of MSPs who will actually sell the hardware with no margin. I said, well, why are you doing that? Well, I just don't want them going to a potential competitor. I don't want them getting lost out there and talking to somebody that they shouldn't, who's going to fill their head full of stuff and you know, lure them away from us. So they just move the product through their books, but they're not making a revenue from it. But they do it to keep the customer close. But what the MSP really cares about, again, is the managed services revenue. That relationship, that's what matters most to them. So this whole theory that managed services and hardware are somehow incongruous ideas, that they're antithetical to one another, it's BS. It's not true. I've never believed it. I still don't believe it. I hope you don't believe it, but that's my argument. Maybe you agree with it, maybe you don't. Send me an email if you want to differ, and I'd love to read your opinions or at least hear them from you guys. All right, third, final topic, co-managed services. Should you be doing it? Should you not be doing it? I know a lot of you out there in MSP world do offer co-managed services. What is co-managed services? It's this idea that the MSP and the internal customer IT department are jointly managing whatever the object is that is being managed. It is typically something that you see at the mid-market and above the enterprise level, right? Why? Because at the SMB level, there generally isn't an IT department, internal IT department to speak of. So co-managed services at the SMB level is largely, with some exceptions, it's largely non-existent, okay? So when we talk about co-managed services, it is mostly at the upper SMB, mid-market enterprise level that you see it. This is going to be a theme that is recurring, and you're going to hear a lot about it in the context of compliance, because this is where we're seeing co-managed services really have some metal on metal grinding and friction. It is in the compliance realm, and where you see co-managed services becoming really viable and a good idea is when you have a high level of maturity in the customer. Okay? Forget size. Like what I said is generally accurate. It's a size based hierarchy of where you see co-managed services and where you don't. But if you want to think about it in a slightly different way, you generally don't, and you shouldn't, try to push co-managed services where the customer is not mature. Why do I say that? I say that because you can't have co-managed services if the internal IT department isn't up to pulling their end of the weight. Does that make sense? I'll say it again. If co-managed services, the MSP and customer, are two equal parties working in tandem to the same goal, one's internal, one's external, the maturity level of the internal IT department has to be somewhere on par with the MSP. Otherwise, you're going to have a disparity. You're going to have the MSP, who is more likely than not doing the dictating down to the customer, because the customer either doesn't have maturity, which could be articulated as anything from lack of human resources, lack of technical resources, lack of experience, or a combination of those. So if you are thinking about co-managed services, if you're currently doing managed services and you're thinking, oh, crap, I wonder how many of our co-managed services customers are really at the maturity level that we need them to be, think about it, really, because how this ties into compliance is the notion of who is guiding the compliance journey. Okay. If your customers are in a particular vertical market, I'm just going to throw out there for the sake of argument, the United States Defense Industrial Base, affectionately known as the DIB. If your customers are in the DIB, they're selling downstream, upstream, whatever, into the defense industrial base, the likelihood is that at some point, or probably already, that customer is going to be coming to you, the MSP, and saying, hey, you know what? Hearing a lot about this thing called CMMC, and we don't have any clue about what's going on. Could you help us? Now, that might be an example of a, I don't mean this in a bad way, but from a compliance standpoint, a less mature company who may not have any clue or resources for internal IT, and would in that scenario be really not well suited to a co-managed services type of approach. I say that because how could an internal IT department under that scenario, having no real understanding of CMMC or how to develop those controls, policies, procedures, the practices, and then to say to the MSP, the co-managed services MSP, much less, hey, we now have to be really sensitive to CMMC. We're going to get certified down the road whenever the DoD figures out how to do that and whenever they actually have the bandwidth to be able to do those certifications. But we want to be aligning our business, whatever that business may be, towards CMMC. So here's a list of our controls, and we need you to be making sure that your managed services, the co-managed services we're consuming from you, are aligning to that. That scenario is the customer taking the lead and guiding their strategic partner, the MSP, in that co-managed services relationship and saying, hey, I just want to make sure that we're on the same wavelength and we're working towards the same CMMC goal. All right? A good example of a mature customer articulating that maturity and compliance vision in a co-managed services way. Now, if you are a major defense contractor and you make fighter jets or lasers or tanks or something, you know, really powerful and meaningful to the defense industrial base, chances are you already have a more than adequate internal IT department. You have a very good, if not excellent, understanding of compliance, CMMC, NIST controls, and everything that you do with your MSPs, plural, is done from the customer out. The customer is dictating to the MSP what their needs are, communicating the expectations, and the MSP says, yes, I can do it, or no, I can't. If you're one of those companies, great. You've got a great co-managed services customer opportunity. That's a good profile right there. But that's not the vast majority of the DIB. The DIB are largely smaller organizations. chances are they're not going to have full functioning IT departments that are capable of what I just walked you guys through. They may be good at whatever they do. Don't get me wrong. I'm just talking only about their internal IT capabilities, which are likely, as a small to medium-sized organization, probably very minimal to non-existent. That's why they go to managed services providers, right? In that case, is co-managed services a wise idea? Probably not. Why? Well, because if you had that type of a customer with no meaningful internal IT department, where's the co-managed element, right? It's not there. In that situation, even if they understand the customer, that is, even if the customer understands or is aware of the pressure that they're facing from CMMC, they're likely, because we see it now happening, so we know it's true, the customer comes to the MSP and says, could you help us with CMMC? We don't have an idea of how to get there. Could you help us? And so the MSP, who's already doing the management of the customer's IT data, is now presented with the challenge of a compliance request. These are not co-managed services opportunities at all. And again, it's based off of the cyber maturity, the IT maturity, the existence of IT management internally at all. And again, it doesn't mean that the business, the customer business, isn't good. Just there's a lot of organizations out there who don't have any clue about IT and never will. And as long as that's the case, there's always going to be a business need for MSPs. But that's a good example of maturity, customer maturity dictating whether the opportunity exists for co-managed services to be there at all. Now, one final comment I want to make. If, this is only to those who are actually doing co-managed services right now, it is particularly important that you have really airtight agreements, contracts, with your co-managed services customers. And you may even want to have different contract templates for those co-managed services customer opportunities. Why? Because it's highly likely that you'll want to have some very unique clauses in there. Certainly, you're going to want to address the issue of risk apportionment. You're going to want to talk about indemnification, things of that nature, because you're dealing not only with your own delivery of managed services, but now you're dealing with a co-equal internal IT department that, at least in theory, if not in practice, has the ability to be disruptive to the same objects that you're managing over here as an MSP. So you better really think about that and articulate that with your customer and write it down in your contracts so that both sides understand what each side's responsibilities, roles, obligations are, and what happens if anything breaks down. The agreements here are really, really critical. And I would say that they're going to be different in maybe small but really important ways from your traditional managed services agreements with non-co-managed managed services customers. So maturity level of the customer, compliance understanding, and the agreements that go along with it that protect both parties. But don't try to force it, right? And don't try to look, and this is the final note. I wouldn't look at co-managed services as a way to escape risk as an MSP. Because I've heard a couple of you say it in, you know, incidental conversation, shall we say. And you've said things like, well, you know, we're a co-managed services outfit, so we only work in a co-managed services environment, so our risk is really a lot lower than the rest of the MSPs out there. Well, don't be so sure. Don't be so sure. And I wouldn't want to say that until I read your contract and made sure that you actually thought that through and had it documented in your agreement. So think about it. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. In fact, it is the genesis of the managed services market came largely from the co-managed services model. I mean, that's who outsourced in the mid to late 90s was enterprises, organizations, and they definitely had internal IT departments, a lot of them, most of them. Hope you liked it, folks. Again, I'm going to repeat this. If you are hearing this only and you want to see the entire episode in its totality and you want to share it with your friends and you just like the visuals, all right, go to YouTube at MSP Alliance. Hit the subscribe button so you'll be notified of future episodes. Hit the like button especially, and maybe we'll start doing some live streams in the future. Wouldn't that be fun?
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.